Movie film. Is it a movie? Or film? Is it a movie? Great movie. Or film? Fascinating. Is it a movie? Love that movie. Haven't heard of that. Is it a movie? My favorite movie. I'm a bit of a cinephile.
Hey, movie filmers, welcome back to another episode of Movie.
Film. It's the podcast where we pick a flick and decide if it's a movie or a film.
That sounds right.
I'm Nate, and I'm having an old friend for dinner.
And I'm Terrell, and I like to play a game.
Saw.
Yeah. Is yours Hannibal?
Silence of the Lambs, yeah.
Yeah,
quote,
okay.
Quote from Hannibal Lecter. Okay. You had that pause before you said your quote where you actually listened to me and thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we got like cannibalism and like torture traps game. It's in I Saw the Devil.
Yeah.
Which I've seen.
Twice.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. All it took was moving the podcast to biweekly.
Right. Yeah.
2 hour, 23 minute.
Yeah.
I think this podcast will be better for it, though.
I think so, too.
So thanks for your patience, listeners.
Mm-hmm.
But let's hop right in.
Yeah, let's hop right in.
I mean, first I'll mention that if you want to hear us every week, you can at patreon.com/moviefilmpod, just behind the paywall, just $2 a month, 4 episodes a week. We had a good one last night that we recorded.
Yeah.
It was fun. We talked about some Thai horror trailers and Boss Baby trailer.
Yeah.
And the stuff we watched this week. We said if it were movies or films, and I'm not going to spoil what those things are.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's play some of the trailer for I Saw the Devil. I Saw the Devil is a 2010 South Korean action thriller directed by Kim Ji-woon and written by Park Hoon-jung.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the description for this episode be Terrell and Nate get sadistic with I Saw the Devil, just in the hopes that there won't be a more sadistic episode.
Yeah, true.
Because this is fucked up.
It's pretty gnarly.
I think you mentioned that this was on your best of the decade list, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and you mentioned like you like fucked up shit. Yeah. So you had to have like a fucked up shit one.
Yeah, and this is.
And
this
I guess the lobster wasn't fucked up enough for you.
I think the lobster was on there too.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It wasn't up enough. Yeah, I mean, this is definitely more fucked up.
Yeah, this is definitely like the most fucked up thing. I hadn't watched it in a while, so I kind of forgot just how fucked up it was, and so I was watching it.
It was fucked up and down and up and down.
Yeah.
And all around.
I was
around.
Just like, ooh, this is, there's like that scene where like the freaking giant guillotine comes down. That I was just like, oh yeah, now I remember. I remember everything.
Yeah. So we do have some crew love today.
Oh, nice.
Believe it or not. We've done enough Korean cinema that we have some overlap in the crew of I Saw the Devil and some other stuff we've covered.
Nice.
The I feel like it's always sound people, but sound person Choi Tae-young worked on Okja.
Okay.
Bong Joon-ho Netflix feature. And the composer, Moog, M-O-W-G, did the score for Burning.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could definitely feel Burning at the end. Like that, I guess maybe because it was like the music.
There is one part where they're in a greenhouse, and that reminded me of Burning.
Yeah.
Because it's a greenhouse in Korea. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think the music was similar to the music in Burning.
Yeah.
which was a little more longing. This is more, it's fucked up. It's fucked up. It's fucked up. If there were words, those would have been them. Well, and like the tango music, which is my first note that starts with some tango-y music.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Almost like Happy Together. It's like that tango music.
Yeah, it is like Happy Together.
They're happy together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should we jump in?
Let's jump in.
Start with some tango music.
Yeah.
I didn't write down any of the details of like the fun like foreign studio logo animations. There's some good ones that I forget what it is, but there's one that is just like so cheery and cute.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's not the movie you're going to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It's not the thing where like some movies will do like a special, like Spider-Man, Spider-Verse does the special like Columbia logo where it's all the different versions.
Mm-hmm.
And they like get you into the feel of the movie before it starts. This is not that.
Yeah, at first I was just like, is this the right thing? Because this is like really upbeat.
Yeah. And like that's the most upbeat this gets. So that first shot is like through a windshield at night.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's snow, right?
It's snowing.
Snow or rain. I think snow because it's a little slower.
Yeah, it's snowing and we see like these angel wings. Like lit up angel wings.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is just like driving with like, I don't know, a lot of religious people have those in their car for like good luck. They'll have like angel wings or just like an angel figurine or something.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's about the devil.
Yeah.
So it's like angel.
Yeah. But is he an angel? I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I think that's the dark humor.
Mm-hmm. So a woman is in her car. She's on the phone talking to her partner, her lover, and
her fiance. Yeah.
And she has a flat tire, which is why she's on the side of the road.
Oh, I lied about the logo being the like nicest part in the movie because it's like one of the first lines of dialogue the fiance is saying on the phone that it's so nice. It's so romantic to hear your voice over the snow.
Yeah.
And that's the sweetest thing in this movie, because what follows is 140 minutes of just brutal shit.
Right. Also, the singing in the bathroom.
Yeah.
He tries to, like, sing to her in the bathroom away from all the other guys, and then he's like, interrupted.
At work, and he has to, like, hide to talk.
Yeah.
And the he in question is Soo-hyun.
Mm-hmm. I have Kim. Kim So.
Okay.
Or Kim Soo.
Kim. Okay. Mr. Kim.
He's like security or something, or like
Secret Service.
Right? So, and very equipped man. She gets a knock on her window from the guy that was driving the car that we first
He's driving a bus, a little school
driving bus. Driving a bus. Yeah. Yeah, with the angel wings, and he taps on her window and is just like, "Hey, I can help you out.
I can fix your flat," but she just wants to wait for the truck to come. Yeah.
And Kim also advises her, like, just wait. Yeah. So, you know, he kind of lingers a bit after she's like, no, he kind of is still looking at her. And then he walks away.
Or does he? Because we get a jump scare.
Yeah.
With his lead pipe through the window.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, very quickly beats her unconscious with that lead pipe.
Yeah. He hits her so many times, I originally thought that he killed her.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Because then the next shot, pretty, well, I'm hesitant to call it beautiful, but like...
There's beauty in it.
We like blood on snow on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like he's dragging the body through the snow, and it's like an overhead bird's eye view shot.
Yeah.
And there's like the red trail of blood behind where the body's being dragged.
As he's pulling it.
And that is the definition of beauty.
Yeah.
Today, at least.
And then you get the I Saw the Devil title as the car is just left there open.
Yeah.
Empty.
Then we get another, like, bird's eye shot over the... I guess it's not bird's eye, but this... Because it's, like, closer in on the thing it's shooting.
Mm.
I guess birds aren't that low to the ground. But it is the body bag shot from above.
Yeah.
And I wrote down that's another like scare because you expect that she's dead.
Yeah.
because she's zipped up in a body bag, but then she comes to, and it's like this gasp in her eyes open.
Yeah, she's naked and she's bloody, it's and like, she's still alive.
Oh, yikes, she's not dead.
Right. And he starts to like touch on her to feel her skin.
Would you refer to him in your note? I have Kyung-chul. Kyung-chul.
I have Kyung-chul.
Okay.
Kyung.
Cute.
Cool. And I know why I was confused that time we were watching it, too.
What time?
It was the second time we watched it. I was confused because they didn't call him Kyung. They called him Jang.
Oh.
Which is weird.
Was that his last name, maybe?
No. Jang is the name of the old guy. The older gentleman.
The cannibal?
The father.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chief Jang.
Yeah. But yeah, he's feeling on her like, oh, your skin is so soft. This is going to be easy. And she starts to beg for her life. Like, please don't kill me. I'm pregnant.
Yep.
And all he does is like blankly stare at her.
Just like completely apathetic.
Yeah.
But the lead up to that, like with the chain dragging, and he does the thing where he's like picking out, there's like, he's got these knives laid out and he does the like Goldilocks thing, like too big, too small, just right.
Just right.
Just being a creep, but a very particular creep.
Mm-hmm. And it's like moments later after she says, I'm pregnant, he just starts to chop into her.
Yeah, and then the next thing we get is just the body dismemberment.
Yeah, throwing it into like a bucket.
The little close-up on the ring that falls off and goes in the drain.
Mm-hmm.
That might come back. The colors.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, I wasn't looking forward to watching this just because I knew.
Like even the first time or the second time?
Even the first time.
Okay.
Well, because maybe if I watched it with you the first time, I watched it alone, like our schedules didn't line up, then I would have like gotten more into it. But the first time I watched it, I did watch it in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you know when like I stopped and then went back to it.
Okay.
Because this was the week I was just watching rom-coms and
this is like
I did not
a stark change.
Yeah. But one of the things I held on to like to get me through the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And to like get into the filmmaking is the colors.
Right.
I wish I had a language to describe it, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's only been 116 episodes, and I don't have the language to describe the color palette. But it's like very dark. It's a dark movie visually, but then like some bright pockets of color. And like even like that body bag shot, it's like the reflection of the light and there's some greens and blues in it, but it's also like very like septic-y yellow because of the plastic. I tried. I attempted to explain it.
Nice. No, it was good. The next day a kid is outside and he finds a bag with an ear in it.
It's like these kids hanging out on like they lit a fire under the overpass, and then one of the boys goes off on his own and finds this ear and calls them all over.
Right.
And I like that it's shot from like very far away, and it's just a single shot of the other boys leaving the fire to go check out what their friend found.
Right. I don't know how often in crime movies an ear is found, but I found this a bit Lynchian, only because recently I watched Blue Velvet. And that starts with an ear as well. So then, a search party is called.
Yeah, it's a bunch of people.
Yeah, it's a lot of people out there, a lot of press, and they're all out there looking for this body. And by
now it's nighttime.
Yeah.
And I like it's lit with like sirens and flashlights, and eventually like the press comes in and it's just camera flashes once they discover the body.
Right. And so the one of them finds it in the water and it's like this slow turn in the water to reveal the face.
Yeah, the head.
Yeah.
They find the dismembered head.
Right.
It
and then they put it in a box and they're carrying the box and then they drop
the guy carrying the box with the head drops it. It trips the head. Heads will roll.
Heads will roll. And it like it falls in front of the fiance.
Yep.
And it takes him a moment to realize what he just saw. And then he starts to like
that, in that close up, that realization and the tears coming, that's,
yeah,
I mean, this gentleman's a,
like, it's worse,
puts in a great performance.
Yeah, it's worse than he ever imagined it could have been.
Yeah, also notable is the one of the police chiefs, Chief Chang, is the father of the deceased. Mm-hmm. So we have she was to be married to a Secret Service agent, the mm-hmm. daughter of a police chief. And now they're both learning this yeah. horrific crime.
Yeah.
It's a new day, and the Chief Chang and Kim
yeah.
are on a park bench. Heavy fog.
Very blue.
Yeah. And your father's blames himself.
Yeah. He's just apologizing to Kim.
Yeah.
He like has no other words but to he just say sorry and cry. Like,
I mean, they're both devastated and broken by the news, but the way the father takes it is just like he gives up.
Yeah, he essentially, like, falls like, into Kim.
He falls into him, he apologizes, he takes the blame, and like it doesn't seem like he can carry on with his life mm-hmm. and like he doesn't seem to have a plan course of action. Whereas Kim, he's got some shit to do now.
Yeah. The funeral scene is really sad. Everyone is like broken.
Mm-hmm.
And she's cremated. Her body, her remains are cremated. And while this is happening, he vows in a voiceover
yep.
to make whoever did this pay.
Yep.
And so he only takes 2 weeks off from work. That's all he needs. He's very sad.
Remember the beginning of the pandemic?
Just 2 weeks. Oh my goodness. Wow. And so he also gets a GPS chip from mm-hmm. his NIS friend.
Yeah.
He is unnamed.
Mm-hmm.
And also a police file.
He learns about
possible suspects.
Four possible suspects.
Yeah.
So it's time to give the first one a visit.
Yeah, he starts to hunt him down. The first guy he meets is like jerking off. He's having some alone time.
Yeah, guy number one, mm-hmm. Sitting in front of the computer, pleasuring himself.
Right.
Very close to completion, but like, yeah. like he starts the
like the
he's getting there, yeah. but then the power shuts off.
Right.
Then he looks around, but then before he can turn his computer back on or do anything else, he's strangled with the extension cord.
Right. Kim has got him, and he's beating the shit out of
him. Yeah, you get a nice, like, it's this very small room they're in.
Mm-hmm.
You get a nice close quarter combat mm-hmm. situation. The first of a couple in this
yeah.
feature.
And he's pounding him, and he's just like, do you remember this? And then the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. So then he
ends up confessing to other crimes.
Yeah, to another crime.
And so he gets a wrench to the privates.
Yeah. Over and over again.
Yeah.
His balls are literally crushed.
Yep. But seemingly not the man he's looking for.
Right.
So time for the suspect number two, who's
on a bike.
On a little scooter.
Yeah.
And this seems, it's just Kim's driving up behind him. He's in a car,
mm-hmm.
drives up like very close behind the guy on the scooter.
Hits him.
Yep.
Bumps him off. And before the guy can like recover, he just starts to like kick him. Kick him, beats him, and it's not the guy though.
Nope. And so you get this quiet moment, one of the only quiet moments mm-hmm. In I Saw the Devil. It's nighttime in Kim's apartment, and the camera, like, he's doing the thing where he's, like, looking out the window, pondering,
mm-hmm.
but the camera, like, goes outside the apartment, and we see the whole skyline, and it's nice.
Yeah. And he's about to go to bed, and then he like cuts off his light and then cuts it back on and then goes back out to the wall to look at
yeah.
the next suspect.
But we don't follow that up. We don't follow that up.
We don't follow that suspect. Up. But we do know that he's very close because the picture is the guy.
The guy that we saw do
yeah,
it.
We, yeah, we saw his face. He doesn't know yet.
And then the next cut is back to Kyung Chul.
Mm-hmm. So a woman is waiting alone at the bus stop at night.
I love the shot. It's her legs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just of her legs. And then the bus pulls up. And it's because it was like the camera's close to the ground on her legs. So it's the rim of the wheel of the bus spinning. And it stops like right in between her legs. And it almost like the way the rim is, it looks like almost like a buzzsaw like coming through her legs as he stops. Because we know who's driving that bus. And we know it's not. It's not going to be good.
It's not going to be good. And so he offers her a ride. And at first she's just like, no, I'll wait. I'm fine. Like, I don't know who you are. But he is like persistent. Like, no, come on. It's on my way. It's right down the street. It'll be no problem. And so she gets in.
I like this. It's, I guess it's kind of like an ongoing bit where he can't find his pipe.
Right.
He's always like, damn it. Where did I put it? He's like Keys with the, with his matches or his lighter and from Double Indemnity.
Yeah.
I like that's a fun character trait that they forget the thing that they need often.
Mm-hmm. And so yeah, she's trying to talk to him and he's just like being weird now. Mm-hmm. I think I would have just tucked and rolled out the car.
Yeah.
And then that's when he starts to look for it, gets it.
He finds it, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, and starts like just bludgeoning her over the head.
And then we get that first guillotine. He like made his own guillotine.
Yeah. And just chops her in half. And the sound of the guillotine dropping is so heavy and
Hard. It's horrifying. And what does he do? He combs his hair and plays some guitar.
Yeah.
Like a cool guy. Okay, back to our supposed good guy.
Our protagonist of shorts.
Yeah.
Kim is, I thought this was funny, he disguises himself as an insurance man.
Mm-hmm.
And finds Ki-young's parents and child.
Yeah.
And starts to snoop around there and be like, do you know where he is?
Well, his dad sells him out.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh, it's a life insurance policy. If he's dead, we get the money.
All right.
I'll tell you where he is, even though, like, at first the mom's, like, protective.
Yeah.
But then the dad fucks it up.
Yeah.
So, Kim gets the address.
Yeah.
Of Ki-young's house.
Mm-hmm. And there he finds a ton of, like, women clothing, like, bras, mm-hmm. like, bloody bras and sneakers, and it's not really what he's looking for. And then the door behind him starts to creak open,
mm-hmm.
and he walks in, and now he's in the murder room. And
it's a 2-bedroom, 1-bathroom, 1-murder-room apartment.
And when he walks in, he looks down and he finds her engagement ring.
Yes. Aha.
Aha. She was here.
Third time's the charm.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, isn't this scene going to be good? A teacher gets her young all-female students onto a bus and says, go straight home, and then tells the driver, go straight home. But the bus driver is the guy.
Is the guy, yeah. And he has a legit job, so I suppose people trust him to do his job.
Does this man stay employed?
I don't know.
Or maybe he just feigns ignorance. Like, yeah, I dropped her off, and then something happened because we see him with one of the schoolgirls.
Yeah, the one that's left alone, who is left napping.
Yeah, I had a hard time with the sexual assault in this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel like they kind of make him cool.
You think they make him cool? You
not like, hey, isn't this cool to do? But kind of the way that we stay with him as he like plays around with her.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? He has the knife or something, and he's like almost penetrating her with that.
Right.
I don't know.
I kind of get what you're
like,
saying.
Like, why do we need to see? I mean. I know why we need to see it, because it's like, hey, isn't this guy fucked up?
Yeah.
But I already thought he was fucked up.
Yeah. I guess.
But it becomes relevant later that he does sexually assault his victims before murdering them.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. He was a complex individual. He wasn't just like this crazy lunatic. There was a calmness to him and a smoothness to him.
Yeah, he's... Yeah. I mean, he has a routine.
Yeah.
He's collected. More collected than cool. Cool wasn't the right word.
Yeah. Because like the doctor scene that we're going to get to, that's a perfect example.
Yeah.
So he has that the last girl tied up in a ditch and he's going to rape her. But then his name is called.
Oh, here's the other thing. Our good guy, this is where I was real early on the, hey, this good guy isn't such a good guy. Because I feel like he lets it go a little far before intervening. He was hiding in the background, I guess.
Right.
And then he pops up and fucks shit up.
Yeah.
He could have done that earlier. What was he waiting for?
What was he waiting for? I felt the same way and then, with the nurse.
Throughout the movie, this pattern continues where like... He could be like somewhat heroic, maybe, but
no.
He lets shit get far, and then a lot keeps going. Lets it keep happening.
Yeah, that's kind of the lesson. Is like he lets it go too far, and right. Then like a lot of people get hurt because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like just as much to blame as the villain in the end.
Yeah,
I think he knows that.
But so yeah, he enters the scene and starts beating the shit out of Kyung, which is great.
Yeah. There's like this old like West stare off kind of, and he has like this jumpy eye.
This is in the greenhouse also, which I like the way you get the fluorescent lights for that and the straight lines of the rows of whatever they're growing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for like the bits of this fight become like a chase. Like you said, you have the standoff and then Kyung just rushes him, right?
Yeah.
But then Kim's ready.
Kim is ready. And like, we learn very quickly that he's a monster. Like, he is very just like physically able to handle any situation.
Though at one point, Kyung gets a weapon. He gets a, like a scythe or a sickle?
A sickle.
Is it a scythe? Is it a sickle or a scythe?
Hmm.
Sickle, sickle, scythe, scythe. Okay. Go to patreon.com/sicklescythepod. Okay. The score. This is where the Moog's score comes in big time. The combat is accompanied by this percussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's very bombastic.
It is. And Kyung is losing, terribly so.
Yeah.
And there's a few times where he could have killed him, and then he starts to think, like, oh, it's got to stop. Yeah. Like when he has the plastic bag over his head.
Yeah, Kyung gets kicked and knocked down, and then Kim starts suffocating him in plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And he has, I don't know what it was, but he has some blunt object holding over his head.
Mm-hmm.
It's like he's got the kill.
Oh, it's a rock because he starts to suffocate him and then he stops and is like, no, I can't kill him. And then he starts to bash his head into the rock.
Mm.
And then he picks up the rock and he's going to like drop it on him.
Yeah, he's like ready for the fatality, but he does the mercy instead.
Yeah.
To use some Mortal Kombat
mercy.
framework.
Yeah, he throws it away. And we also see that the girl that was tied up is free.
Yeah.
As well. And she kind of watches and is like making her way out.
Yeah. Can you imagine? Never mind. Let's not even try to imagine being that person in that situation.
Right.
Or any of the women in this picture. Yeah.
So he takes the plastic off of his head and he makes him swallow the GPS chip, and breaks his arm.
Yeah, really interesting pacing and like storytelling. I wasn't expecting these two to cross paths so early on.
Right, within the first hour.
To have this showdown. It was after this first time that Kim doesn't kill this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I like took a break.
Oh, okay.
it was like 40 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was just pissed off. I was like, oh, is that what this movie is? Is these
two,
it's going to keep going? Like, why? Letters. It's just a cat and mouse, and the cat keeps letting the mouse go.
Yeah.
Fucking kill that mouse.
Just kill that mouse.
Cat?
Nah.
It's actually rat and mouse, I'd say, would be more accurate.
Yeah, I guess, yeah. And so, Ki-young wakes up in a ditch with his arm broken. Beat to a pulp.
With a GPS tracker in his intestines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he also leaves him the envelope of cash.
Yeah.
That's the big one that pissed me off.
Yeah.
Like, not only did you let him live, but you gave him a chance.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, it's not even a chance. It's just like, I want you to, like, live.
Well, yeah, he would have died out and slowly, like, and painfully if he had just left him.
But I'm gonna fuck with you for the rest of your life.
Well, he doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Ki-young wakes up, he sees he assesses his injuries and looks through the envelope and sees all the cash. He starts laughing like a maniac and he says, ah, you dumb bastard.
Right. And so he gets himself together all dressed up and realizes that he can't drive his bus
right
anymore. And so he starts to
hitchhike.
Gets in a taxi cab. A taxi cab stops for him, and inside are two gentlemen who seem very nice.
This scene is so fucking cool. It's like a little short film within the picture.
Yeah.
Just this whole taxi sequence. Mm-hmm. Because
they're doing their own thing.
Because Kim had four suspects.
Mm-hmm.
And the third one was the person that did that shit.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're meeting the fourth suspect.
Right.
He's coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of random. I don't know. It's like it feels like a Tarantino kind of thing.
Kind of.
Like how in Pulp Fiction, Vinny and Jules can't, like, catch a break.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have the Marvin situation, and then they get to the diner and shit should be over, but then there's the robbery.
Right.
So it's like that. Ki-young has this Kim situation and he should be done, but then he gets in the cab and it's not good.
No, it's not.
So the camera spins around the whole cab.
Mm-hmm.
And the driver's like laughing about how lucky he is that he got the cab.
Mm-hmm.
And then the camera spins. We see the passenger in the back seat looking super sketchy.
Right. And we also see him pulling out a weapon very slowly.
Yeah. And the camera keeps spinning around. And you see Ki-young kind of get wise.
Yeah.
Because he says, the way I see it, I'm not lucky, you're unlucky.
Yeah.
And then I thought the extension cord close quarter fight was cool. This is a taxi cab, 2-on-1.
Yeah. And they didn't stand a chance. Like, he was just, like, so quick, just starts, like, jabbing them with his knife.
Yeah, so it turns out it wasn't a taxi driver. It was two murderers.
It was two murderers.
Stabs them with a knife. That's
so funny that a murderer would run into two more murderers.
Right.
On this, like, countryside, wherever they are. It's a dangerous place. It's just murderers everywhere.
Yeah, so I enjoyed this way more the second time mm-hmm. when I knew what it was.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause the first time, I really appreciated, like, the scene and the tension and the fight, even.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt, like, really random and, like, let's just do more fucked up shit. Right. But it actually was the Wikipedia page that informed me that it was the fourth suspect.
Right, okay.
And that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. And after he's done with them, he looks in the trunk.
And there's the real driver.
There's the real driver dead. And he's just like, you crazy bastards. And then laughs.
So Kim's watching this all on the GPS. And he hears it too.
Yeah, he can hear it.
But he didn't stop anything. He didn't intervene.
No.
This wasn't the time, I guess.
Yeah. So Ki-young goes to the doctor's office, and the doctor is like teasing him just slightly.
Wait, there's a little sequence before that where Kyung's disposing the bodies in the woods. You don't actually see him dispose the bodies. What first you we start on Kyung and he's washing his face in the creek, and then he walks like up this hill and we see him pass three bodies, and then you're like, okay, he disposed of these bodies. And then the camera doesn't move, it like cuts, it does that cut where it's like nighttime to daytime, and then it's the same shot set up, but now it's Kim and he's up on the top of the hill, like on higher ground, kind of inspecting, because I guess he heard and knew about like this thing that happened, and now he's following up,
right,
to be like, okay, three bodies, got it.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Kyung's now at the doctor's office.
All right. And so because the doctor was just teasing him just like the slightest bit, he turns the tables on him.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy. And the doctor's really old and really seems nice, but like Kyung's just like, give me your glasses.
Yeah.
Like, come here, give me your glasses. And he's about to take this man's glasses off of his face until the nurse interrupts him. And he sees that it's like this really young girl.
Yeah.
And so he sets his sight on her. And he has like a prescription or whatever. And he gives it to her. And then he starts to talk to her like, oh, you're so pretty. I bet you have a bunch of boyfriends. And she's just very, you know, coy and shy. And she's like, no, what are you talking about? I don't know what. And he's just like, I bet you don't know how to do it.
So like at this point, Kim, come already.
Yeah.
Do you think he like, because eventually he barges in.
Yeah.
Is it okay if I jump to that? Or is there more stuff?
No, because about? I mean, what he does is he must like disappear for a moment, and she steps from behind her desk, goes into the break room, and he's waiting for her.
Yeah.
And then he starts to make her strip.
Right.
Yeah.
So Kim comes in with a fire extinguisher.
As I think she's like already started to perform oral sex.
It's like, no, there's like the shot of him pushing the head down. And then maybe he leans back a little bit.
Yeah.
So do you think that Kim, as soon as he got there, rushed in? Or was he waiting for there to be like an act? Like waiting for the act to begin, I guess, of sexual assault. Hmm. Like he wanted it to go from harassment to assault.
No, I think as soon as he got there, he busted in.
Oh, okay.
He just busted in when...
Because I felt like he let it go too far.
He let it go too far.
Or at least, like...
Like, maybe he was
listening.
I know
it's, like, a
listening.
Thriller and there's tension, but, like... I would have been fine with Kim running in with the fire extinguisher way earlier.
Right.
We already know what this devil of a man is capable of.
He was listening, and then probably when he started to, like, yell at her to make her strip...
Mm-hmm.
Then that's probably when he probably got out of his car and made his way to the office.
Yeah. So imagine you're Kyung and like you try sexually assaulting, you try raping this girl, this young girl, and then Kim comes in, this random guy beats the shit out of you,
right?
Could kill you, leaves you alive and an envelope of cash. And then you have this episode in a cab, just random shit.
Yeah.
And then you're in the doctor's office, you're going to get your rocks off.
Yeah.
Imagine, and then the guy comes back.
And beats the shit out of you again.
It's wild.
And like, on site, just like fire extinguisher to the face.
Mm-hmm. Percussion comes back in.
Yeah.
It's just a fight in a doctor's office, which is fun.
Yeah.
Fun setting for that.
Kim ends this one. He ended the last one by breaking his arm, and this is the
graphic.
You have to look away.
I tensed up so much. Okay, I watched it the first time, tensed up so much. On the rewatch, I was like, okay, I can just write down, okay, he slashes his Achilles tendon, and I'll just focus on my notes and look down. And I wasn't watching, I didn't see any blood or anything, but I felt my body still so tense in that moment.
Yeah.
And it like took me a while to relax.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's not like he slices it. It's like he digs into it and then he like goes from the inside.
Goes through it, yeah.
Outside, yeah. It's really rough.
Yeah.
And then again, he wakes up.
And then he lets this man go again.
He lets him go again. What
did he want? Did he want like Kyung to reform his ways? Like no. Maybe he'd be satisfied if now after getting the shit beat out of him twice,
no,
he'll stop.
I think this was his game plan all along, was just to like,
I know he's gonna keep doing fucked up shit, and every time he does, I'm gonna do fucked up shit first.
Yeah,
but on you.
Yeah, and even if he didn't do anything fucked up, I think he would have just beat the crap out of him and then fixed him up, waited, and then beat the crap out of him again.
Hmm.
He just wanted to cause this man as much pain as possible for as much time as he could.
I guess so. Or 2 weeks.
Yeah. For 2 weeks.
Which is, I guess, as much time as he can.
Right. I think this is a book, right?
I don't know. Book? I can check the wiki.
And if it's a book, it probably happens over a longer span of time. Of him just messing with this guy. Maybe.
I don't know that it's a book. It doesn't mention it.
Okay, never mind.
Yeah. Ooh, there's a 2014 Bollywood film inspired by I Saw the Devil.
Interesting. I wonder if there's music in it. I mean, yeah.
EK Villain is a 2014 Indian Hindi language action thriller about a hardened criminal whose terminally ill wife is murdered by a sadistic serial killer. Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, alleged to be an unofficial remake of I Saw the Devil, but the director has refuted it. I'm just going to add that to my watch list.
Okay. So, yeah, Kyung wakes up in the car and starts looking around for a tracking device because he's just like, how did this guy find me again? Like, right when I was about to do something else.
little update. Okay. Not going to add it to my watch list. The top review on Letterboxd is, I did not see the devil. I just saw shit.
Oh.
For the Bollywood picture.
I guess that's why it was denounced. It's unclaimed.
Though there's a sequel, EK Villain Returns.
Ooh.
Coming out next year.
Ooh, wow. Okay.
Okay, back to the original.
Kyung burns all of his relics, like all the things he was holding on to from his past victims.
Mm, his trophies.
Mm-hmm. And he starts to make his way somewhere.
I like how he's like talking to Kim, like he figured out that like, oh, he's listening to me, so he's just in the car like yelling like, you piece of shit, like, you think you're gonna get me, I'll show you.
Is that now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's on his way to Taiju's house.
Yeah.
Okay. Taiju is the reason why I quoted Hannibal Lecter, because he's a cannibal.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, this movie introduces cannibalism right at the halfway mark. It wasn't fucked up enough. We're halfway through.
I was just like,
here's a cannibal.
Wow. Because I already thought it was fucked up enough.
It was so fucked up.
I was just like, you guys are going to throw in cannibalism?
Yep.
And, like, not shy away from, like, showing cannibalism.
Yep.
Is
that kind of picture.
A little bit before the cannibalism.
Okay.
Jane calls Kim worried and wants him to stop. Mm-hmm. He wants him to put an end to what he's doing. He feels bad about the whole situation. But Kim can't close this can of worms.
No.
Even when his, I guess, potential sister-in-law tells him, like, hey, I'm scared. I look over my shoulder. I want you to stop this.
Former potential. I don't know if there's much potential anymore.
Yeah, there's no more potential. But she's trying to get him to stop. Like, hey, there's no point in this. Let it go. And he's just like, I gotta go. I gotta do something. Like, and also, it's not pointless to me.
Yeah, this is like a phone conversation. I like the line, revenge is for the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the dad or the sister, I don't know who said it, trying to talk him out of it.
Right.
Because, you know, this isn't a movie.
No, this is real. And so now Ki-young is having dinner with his cannibal friend.
Yeah, by the way, the man-eating man has some man-eating dogs.
Yeah, of course.
So yeah, dinner with cannibals.
Yeah. And there's a woman there. Yeah, I don't know if she's eating human.
I don't know, but Ki-young, I mean, we know he's like huge misogynist.
Yeah. Makes her get him a drink.
Yeah, it's
with no manners. Yeah. Just like get up
no,
and do
he's
it.
Super rude to his friend's girlfriend, bossing yeah. her around.
Mm-hmm. She also doesn't have not a one line.
Hmm.
Not one line.
Hmm. I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. So what's his name?
Taiju.
Taiju.
I'm probably mispronouncing it. But
Tai is
Taijo.
Tai is having
T-A-E:
T-A-E
dash J-O-O. The cannibal.
The cannibal is talking to Ki-young kind of sideways about his situation, but Ki-young has to remind him that he's his elder, and says that the meat is making you crazy.
Well, the cannibal says, like, don't you think whoever's hunting you is, like, related to one of the people you killed?
Yeah. And he's right.
Yeah.
But you can't say anything to that man.
So now we have to watch the cannibal commit violence against a naked woman.
Yeah, he goes to prepare his next meal, and he goes to look for some guts.
Yep.
But he ate all the guts.
Do you have it? Guts.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't have it.
And so now he needs some fresh guts. So yeah, he pulls a woman out with a bag over her head. This felt very like Texas Chainsaw.
Hmm.
It was like the pulling the woman with the sound of the chains.
I was thinking about Texas Chainsaw when I was watching this, just because that's a super fucked up movie that I like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's less than 90 minutes.
Yeah.
This is 2 hours and what is it? 23 minutes?
23 minutes. Because they had to throw in a lot.
Like, I didn't dislike this, but mm-hmm. it's going to be a long time, if ever, that I rewatch it.
Right. And he has no remorse for her.
Yeah, we go full Stanley Kubrick Clockwork Orange with some opera music scoring the extreme sexually charged violence.
Yeah, he's like, hands, feet,
head, shoulders,
neck, head, shoulders.
Toes.
Yeah, like how the order he
eyes
like
and
chops.
Ears and mouth and nose.
And so he raises his knife to chop her hands off. And then the music stops.
Yeah, I like that editing.
Yeah. So he goes over to the music, presses play, turns back around.
He's like, come on, I need my tunes for my violence.
Right.
I like that it's his music. Like, I didn't know for sure that it was like him playing music and not just like part of the score.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no, this cannibal gets into it. And like he fancies himself like a Alex DeLarge, Clockwork Orange type of droog.
Mm-hmm.
And his pause, and he needs it.
Yeah.
He needs to get into character, I guess. But guess what? Kim's here.
And he's just like, how did you get here? Like, how did you... You didn't make a sound.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how did you get here without making a sound? And so Ki-young's in bed or on the couch, or he's laying down, and he's just thinking about what T said to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, oh, wow, this is a funny situation. this is actually funny. Because he says amusing.
Yeah, this is where he remembers the ring.
Yeah.
He was where, because Kim found the ring and then he put it on.
Yeah.
When he went to beat the shit out of Ki-young.
And he noticed it, yeah.
So this is where he realizes, okay, he's related to this one of my victims.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Kim and the cannibal are duking it out. Cannibal gets out a knife, and it's just a thing I like in cinema where a knife, you got like a close-up of a knife, and you get like that swing sound.
Yeah.
knives don't make that sound.
Yeah.
Like, I guess it's like the sound of like sharpening knives, maybe. Yeah. Is that, well, like, when would a knife ever really make that sound?
It's a movie thing.
Yeah.
It's a movie thing.
It's cool, though.
I also like when, like, people are about to be attacked by someone, and then they look down, and they're like, hey, I got this knife. And they, like, feel like they have the upper hand because they have a weapon.
Yeah, but you got to know how to use it quickly.
Yeah.
Quickly, especially when you're up against a Secret Service agent.
Yeah, and Kim is able to beat the crap out of him, disarm him, break his arm, tie him up with the chains that previously held the woman,
mm-hmm.
and set him in like this really like contraption where his hand is like,
he stabs him with like a screwdriver
down.
Or something.
Yeah, it's like it's a knife. He pins him down with a knife.
Yeah,
and then the other hand is like held up by the chain, and he's gonna like slice his hand off, the one that's hanging in the air.
Right. There's some really cool, gross but funny moment where. Well, okay, so Hyung comes back for more.
Yeah.
For more of round three with Kim. With a shotgun. The cannibal gets some time to assess the situation. He tries to pull the knife out of his hand.
Yeah, this is the comedy.
He pulls it up. It's really fucking dark comedy, but he pulls it up and it's just the handle.
Yeah. And then he has to like lift his hand all the way up the blade.
Oh, it's so gross, but so funny.
Yeah. It's like the head falling out of the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The sick, sick, twisted humor.
Mm-hmm. The girl that was like moments away from being that man's mill makes her escape.
Mm-hmm.
Kim is upstairs hiding now because he doesn't want to get shot.
Yeah, he's like he has to like evade shotgun blasts, and he gets to hide for a moment. Meanwhile, Kyung's like doing some Kevin McAllister shit, mm-hmm. tossing out like jacks, like that game jacks.
That's what Kim does.
Oh, that's what Kim does.
Kim does.
Okay.
Yeah, after he like disarms the girlfriend, and then
I see my
beats
note.
Up the cannibal
my note was
again.
My note was he home alones Kyung. I thought.
Yeah.
I thought. Kyung did Home Alone.
Yeah, he throws out the jacks on the floor, and then he steps on him, and he's just like, ah!
Yeah.
And he's able to, like, run up and kick the gun, like, mid-shot, before he gets shot.
Mm-hmm. Kim then hits Kyung I wanted to count. I think it might be close to 50 times. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Of hits.
Like, it's so many to the back of the head, and we see his head start to bleed. I'm just like, oh, he's gonna kill him. Like, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could feel the frustration because he starts to yell, like, why? Why did you do it?
Mm-hmm.
But no, he's not dead.
So now the other police chief, not the father of the deceased, visits to try to get Kim to stop.
Mm-hmm.
We get the line, you can't become a monster to fight the monster. Guess what? Way too fucking late.
Way too late.
For that. And we still got like over an hour to go in this picture. Maybe not over an hour at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So the cannibal and his girlfriend are arrested.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the hospital because they have critical injuries.
But Kim took Young somewhere special.
Mm-hmm.
Where his NIS buddy is.
Yeah, he arranged. His buddy helped him arrange to get treatment at a different facility. Because he doesn't want Kyung to be obtained by the police.
Yeah, not yet.
Because then he can't.
Or not ever.
Yeah, then he can't commit more violence.
Yeah. And so his friend brings up the chip.
Yes.
And then he's like, wait, shh, shh, be quiet. And then they go to look over at him, and he's asleep.
Yeah, he appears to be unconscious.
But
so they decide to carry on with their conversation, which includes sensitive subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that he has a GPS chip inside of him.
Yeah.
Clever, clever on Keon's part to stay looking asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time to let Keon out into the wild once again.
Once again. Yeah, he wakes up in a tunnel this time.
But this time, Keon's got that intel, so he removes the transmitter.
Yeah.
Finds a new place to keep it, which is inside someone else's throat.
Yeah, but he shits it out, digs through the shit.
Yeah, I didn't write that down, you but didn't, yes.
Yes. We see the shit.
He sifts through shit.
We see
gets
it.
Gets the chip, and then he doesn't wash it off.
No, of course not. He just beats up the next guy that walks into this place and then shoves it down his throat.
I feel like my mom's not listening to this episode at this point.
At this point.
I don't know.
When do you think she stopped listening?
Like, what? I don't know. She sends me feedback or, like, notes every week.
Uh-huh.
And if you are listening, Mom, I'm sorry that we're, like, talking about you. But let me know in your notes. I mean, you will. You'll be like, I am listening. I enjoy talking about it. I'd never watch this, but I don't know. But we're literally just listing off fucked up shit.
Yeah. Kyung's game. He is.
And we're not done. No. Mom, we're not done.
Not done. Let's get to it. Yeah, this is like the turning point where he's just like, okay, if you want to fuck with me, I know who you are, and let's do this. Let's play this game. But I'm gonna make you regret not killing me.
Yeah. You're like a pharmacy scene.
Yeah, and they both end up at a pharmacy, mm-hmm. but two different ones.
Yeah. Keon ends up murdering the pharmacist.
Yeah, and he's just like, "Yeah, you better get here before this guy dies. Before you mm-hmm. have another body on your hands."
Yeah, I guess he feels like he's past the point of no return.
Yeah,
like they know me; they're on to me.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's gonna keep beating the shit out of me and letting me go. I might as well, like, you know how when you're playing Grand Theft Auto, sometimes you just try to get all the stars,
oh yeah,
all
definitely.
The police stars,
mm-hmm.
to be the most wanted. So I feel like he's doing that,
right?
Going full nihilist.
Yeah, and while he's like talking to him, because he's aware that the chip, this is like a little bit before the shitting and the chip. He tells him like, did you know she was pregnant?
Right. Apparently he didn't. Apparently he didn't know.
Yeah, he didn't know.
Which I guess I should have guessed that, because that's kind of a cliche that the survivor of the murdered wife finds out that she was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you get that moment here too.
Yeah, where it pushes him over the edge, and he loses Keong because he got rid of the chip.
Yeah, he ran away.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to the hospital to visit the cannibal.
Yeah.
To question him.
Get some information about where he is. But the cannibal just laughs at him and it's just like, you have no idea who you've been fucking with. Like, he always gets evened.
The cannibal gets a good, like, little monologue here.
Yeah.
That actor. You get... This is where, like, the fact that Keon sexually assaults his victims comes into play, because he says, like, hey, at least she wasn't my victim, because I kill them and then eat them. At least he gives them pleasure before killing them.
Yeah.
Which, that's not a great at least. Yeah. But he says that and then just starts laughing.
He also tells him that he's going to go after your family, and then he's going to turn himself into the police.
He's going to go after the squad chief, the father, mm-hmm. and the surviving daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's going to turn himself in, so like, watch out.
Yeah.
And then he says the shit about like, at least she got pleasure before she died.
And he starts to laugh, and then he...
While he's laughing, like, wide open mouth, yeah. Just an invitation for two hands to go in there to begin breaking his jaw,
yeah,
I guess.
Just ripping his mouth open.
Yeah.
Ripping his cheeks. It's, yeah. Yeah.
Real sick shit.
So, Kim calls... he calls Zhang, the father, but not
no
in time
answer.
Because Kyung's at the door and he's just like postal delivery.
Yep. And he continues to go postal.
Yeah.
And he delivers on that.
Mm-hmm.
They die. He gets to him.
Well, actually, he doesn't kill him. He just beats the crap out of him. And then beats him some more with, like, a weight on his eye.
I think he kills them.
No, because he walks in. Kim, like, he fights his way into the house.
Mm-hmm.
And they let him in. And then he sees him in the house and he's alive. The father's still alive.
Oh. Okay.
But before all of them got to the house, the daughter walked in. And there's a jump scare there because she's walking towards the dark kitchen where her father is. And then she gets taken by Kyung.
Mm-hmm.
So he's left there alive and beaten very bad. And the daughter is taken. She's missing.
Okay.
He is going Wait, to...
We don't ever get follow-up on that, though.
On what?
The daughter's taken?
Yeah, she's taken.
Nothing. That's a loose thread then.
Kinda.
I don't think
they don't, because they don't show the torture or the killing. What happens is,
yeah, but she's killed, right?
She killed. She's
yeah.
Killed.
Okay, that's what I was.
Yeah,
that's what I meant. That he kills him.
Yeah, when he gets out the car to turn himself in, he has blood all over him, and right. He's holding the knife. So mm-hmm. That signifies that he.
Okay.
You know, he so killed her.
So now we're finally getting some implied violence.
Yeah.
That's nice of this director.
To just imply it, yeah. That by the blood all over him that he chopped her up to bits. And he's really close to turning himself in, and Kim sees him and does the most action star thing ever.
Yeah,
which is remove his car door
before the police can get to Kyun, who has the murder weapon, is all bloody with his hands up in the middle of the road. Before they can slowly approach him, which is what they do in this kind of situation,
mm-hmm.
In comes this car with the door missing, does the U-turn, pulls up right next to him, and like, guess who's the kidnapper now?
Right, pulls him into the car, like drags him
right in front of the cops.
Yeah. And they're just like, what the hell is happening?
And takes him to the murder room.
Yeah.
You know what happens there?
So he has him bent over and tied over the guillotine.
Yeah.
And he's trying to get something out of him. Like, he is looking for satisfaction.
He's not going to find it.
And he's just like... I'm going to kill you when you want it the most,
mm-hmm.
when you're begging for it. And so Kyung starts to beg to live.
Right.
And then...
Because he just wants it to die at this point.
He wants it to be over. And he puts his head down, and then Kim is just like, do you realize what you did? Like, are you aware now? Do you feel that? Do you feel the responsibility? Do you feel the weight? And then Kyung just looks up at him very seriously and is just like, stop fucking with me. Like, yeah. you're not going to get what you want. Like, I don't care. Like,
he
you lost.
He gets close to it, though.
Yeah. I think by the end, he gets as close as he'll ever get.
Probably still not close enough because, like, his fiance is still fucking murdered.
And,
like, maybe you should confront that before, like,
and now the
going
sister,
on a rampage.
The sister is dead
because
of you?
Of your actions?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Dude.
Chill.
So, yeah, he realizes that he's not going to be able to get what he wants out of Kyung because he's just, like, ruthless and he doesn't care. You can't beat someone like
now
that.
Now we get to the scene, which is, I'm guessing, why you quoted Saw, because it's a very Jigsaw type of...
Yeah.
The Rubes Goldberg of horror going on.
Because mm-hmm.
Remember the parents?
And the son?
Yeah, that mentioned... We forgot to mention when Kim poses as the insurance salesman, we learned that Hyun has a son that he left with the parents, and he's a deadbeat dad. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
So he leaves him in like this contraption, very Saw contraption, where
If the door opens, the guillotine drops.
Yeah, and he has like this handle, this rope in his mouth.
Right, if the door opens or if he lets...
Let it go.
He lets go of this rope that he has in his mouth.
Yeah.
He dies.
And so Kim walks out and he puts on his headphones mm-hmm. because he left the chip right next to him.
Yeah.
And Kim is just like swearing like, you can't win. I'm going to live so long. Like, you think you won, yeah. but you didn't. But then, like, there's no way to beat me.
Guess who's here? Parents and the parents son.
Enter as he's like leaving. And then this is where Kyung starts to freak out. Like, no, no, mom, no, dad.
They're on the other side of the door knocking like, hey.
Yeah. And he's just like, no, don't do it.
And they can't hear him because he has the thing in his mouth.
Yeah.
And it's I like the dynamic. It's kind of funny, but also just more of the sexism that's in this picture. But the mom like is like doesn't know what to do and it's like trying to open it or like, what are you saying? Like trying to hear her son out.
Uh-huh.
But then the dad's like, move over, and then he just opens it. What a dad move.
Just pulls it open.
Murders his son. Murders unknowingly. His son.
The head rolls over to them.
Another head roll, yeah.
Yeah, and they're just like, ah! They right start to like, feet. Freak out. And, like, he's listening to this. He's listening the whole time. He can hear their screams. And then he takes off his headphones.
And he starts crying.
Starts to cry and starts to break down. And I don't think he's happy with himself. I think he knows that he became...
So who's the devil that the title refers to? This is the end, by the way.
It's over. Yeah, Kyung's dead, and Kim is left
crying, and he did all that really fucked up shit.
Yeah,
and like traumatized that poor kid.
Yeah,
who already had a hard life.
I feel like they're kind of each other's devil. I feel like
they each saw the devil.
Yeah,
I
feel like Kim definitely became a devil.
See, I was expecting, based on the title of this, that it would be like some religious, like occultism horror.
Mm-hmm.
No,
it's just like pure evilness.
Yeah,
and evil people.
Men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's it.
That's I saw the devil.
I'm tense right now, still.
I'm glad we got to it. I think this was on, like, the paper list.
Oh, yeah, we can cross. Do we still have that paper?
It should be somewhere.
Cool.
It should be somewhere.
We got a couple more on there. We still got to watch.
Yeah, just a few, yeah. I suppose...
Is it a movie or a film? Is that what you were about to say?
It was. You beat me to it.
Okay. I got to ask. I feel like you're about to answer, but I got to ask the question.
Right. I'm going to say movie.
Okay.
I'm going to say movie.
Cool. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
Not like other movies, though.
No.
It's a really fucked up movie.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And
solid, like, if you're into, like, fucked up revenge thrillers, like, a pretty good one that, like, demonstrates the fallacy of revenge being a good method of overcoming grief.
And it's not, because it's never enough.
No. Do they say, is that expression revenge is a dish best served cold, meaning like sit on it?
Probably, yeah.
Is that what that means?
Yeah.
Like don't, like process your grief first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
This movie, you know what I love about this is like sometimes I'll watch something and I'll be like, oh, the person didn't suffer enough, you know, like the bad guy didn't suffer enough. He died too quickly.
I feel like I suffered too much.
And then you watch this and you're just like, no, like get to it. Like just end it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was very long and I wanted the one guy to kill the other guy.
Yeah.
At a certain point, I didn't care who died. I wanted one of them to kill the other one.
Mm-hmm. I definitely think out of like the two evils, Kyung still is the worst one.
Yeah, but Kim is like the state-sponsored evil. He's got a job to do this.
Yeah.
Kyung's just a bus driver.
Yeah.
They literally gave him 2 weeks off work to get revenge.
Yeah. They didn't know he was going to do that.
But then eventually they do, and no one tries stopping him other than asking him to stop.
Yeah. I wonder if he has, like, a license to kill or something where...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's good that it stops right there, because, like, what happens to him now? I mean, he's got to go to prison.
He's got to go to prison.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know criminal law in Korea, but...
Yeah.
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 If not literal prison, he's definitely in a metaphorical prison. Well, that's I Saw the Devil.
Yeah.
And let us know if you've seen I Saw the Devil. Or if you made it through to the end of this episode. Curious to see if our regular listeners stuck with us. Those who haven't seen I Saw the Devil, at least. Because, we just listed off a bunch of fucked up shit.
Yeah.
So let us know at MovieFilmPod on social media. Or email us, moviefilmpod@gmail.com. Have we ever gotten a single email?
I think we got one.
Listener? Yeah?
I think we got one.
Okay, good. Or, visit patreon.com/moviefilmpod to support the pod. And get to hear us next week. Because if you don't, you'll have to wait 2 weeks for the next episode.
All right, because we're bi.
Weekly. Which I think could also mean twice a week. So we should be clear that the prefix bi here is referring to every other week, twice in 1 month. In 2 weeks from now, we will be...
Do you want to announce it now?
I don't know. I feel like we've been doing it.
Yeah.
Let's give people time to watch it. It's on Hulu.
Okay. Ooh, what is it?
It's The Beach Bum.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You knew that.
I knew that. I did know that.
We talked about
this.
You're
right. We did.
In 2 weeks, we're going to the beach, and we're hoping to be able to record an episode from the beach.
From the beach.
Just a couple of beach bums talking about Beach Bum next episode of Movie.
Movie.
Film.
Film.
Beach Bum's a fucked up movie, too.
But it's different. It's kind of fun.
You'll see.
Fun fucked?